And we are live. Gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Mecca of Banter podcast. I am this week's host, Henry Wind. You can find me on Twitter at Henry Wind. Coming to you live from a new house, a new backdrop. We got like this deep navy black wall that we're working with for now, not forever, but for now. but I'll say it this week, like I say it every week, it is a great week to be a Manchester United fan. Couldn't be more excited to be here. And couldn't be more excited to talk St. Louis City today because fucking A, fellas, we clinched the number one spot. So we are definitely here to celebrate tonight. We have a lot to get into tonight, a lot of topics, maybe some highly debated topics at that. So let's check in with the fellas. Connor Sindobri, how you doing?
Fellas, what's going on? It's good to see you. Great weekend to be a City fan. Like we all predicted, top of the table, Western Conference champs. Honestly, I feel like this is the first time that like I've got to sit down and do like a full episode in like a month and a half, and the whole squad's here. And I know I'm gonna take some shit from United, but I'm very prepared to dish it out as always, fellas. So it's good to be here.
As always, glad to have you, Nick Haeflinger. Coming off a big day for the kid, how you doing?
Hey, you know, we take 3 points whenever we can get them, but I'll take them now. Also happy to talk about St. Louis City. I love clinching first place. Haven't seen the top of a table in a while, so down to talk about it.
Here we go, brother. Here we go. Lucas Winkelmann, how you doing?
What's up, gentlemen? After that Liverpool loss this weekend, I'm feeling good in second right now and City dropping points, so I'm stoked to talk about that game as well as St. Louis City, just like you guys. Yeah, boys, this is going to be a good one.
Now, getting to the main card of the night, checking in with the two fellas representing each corner, Andy Hoover and the Tottenham Hotspurs. How we doing?
I'm absolutely buzzing. I mean, not only did I pick up 6 points this weekend, I banged some bets. I got to watch all of it live with my friends. I'm buzzing. This has been the most excited I've been for a podcast yet. So, yeah.
Fuck yeah. And probably on the opposite side of the table, someone who's not super excited to be on the podcast tonight, Ryan Butchart. How are we doing?
Fellas, great to be back, you know. And I will say, I watched the game with Hoove and Dobes. And, you know, Hoove and I, mutual respect. I gave him a nice handshake at the end, even though the referee was full of shit. you know, it wasn't a great result, but credit to you, Hoove. You got 3 points, brother. Congratulations.
Man, that's a lot more gracious than I was anticipating, but we'll take it.
Yeah. I was expecting a lot of negligence in that intro. So
I think full strength we win 4-1.
Fucking A, man.
I don't know on what grounds you have that thought.
We'll never know. We'll get to that
here in a second. Before we dive into this week's weekly recap, fellas, we got to start with St. Louis City. We mentioned it in the intro, but after this weekend's results between us and also Real Salt Lake, we clinched first in the conference, which, as Connor said, we all saw that coming. We all saw that coming from the very beginning.
There's someone on record on this podcast that said we win first year. So, and I'm pretty sure it was me. And when we check the tape later, I want that to be known. So,
also want it to be known that Missouri is 100% red, and it's not
so red.
It's like North London, my boy.
Freaking.
Okay, let's get into it. So, this weekend we have a massive victory over Kansas City, which always feels good to play them, always feels good to beat them. A little bit nervy of a first 65, 70 minutes before we found the net a bunch of times. What were y'all's thoughts on this game?
Dude, we sustained some pressure, man, for some decent moments of that game. You guys remember, like, KC had, like, 3 or 4 huge chances.
We did too, though.
Berkey stood on his head a little.
Both keepers until the end of the game. Yeah. Like Vasilev had that shot right, or I guess kind of like finagled across their two center backs and took that left footed shot. The keeper made the save with like his elbow. You know, we had a couple big chances too, though. I sorry to interrupt you, Butchie, but even before all that happened, when we saw the lineups and I saw Big Sam and Klaus playing up top together, I don't think we've seen that yet. And I was super intrigued to see what that was going to be like, but I feel like it kind of worked. I know we've talked about it before, but we've tried so many different formations and rotations of players. And whether that would be a good or bad thing going into the playoffs. But what do you guys think about that duo specifically?
The second half definitely better than the first. The first half was brutal. I also think that, like, those are two guys. One, Big Sam's rapid, and then Klaus is that sort of hybrid of, like, great on the ball but can make those dynamic runs in behind. And in the second half, Kansas City just looked gassed. And all it took was, like, Big Sam putting some pressure on, like
– Yeah, floated balls.
Yeah, three of the goals we scored were like, we pressed them high up. They made mistakes. We won the ball back. So it worked. I'm just a little concerned that, like, against a good team in a first half like that, like, we may end up being down with the chance we conceded. But then again, like, I'm happy with it. I really like Big Sam. He's come on. Like, I didn't think he was going to be this type of player, like,
yeah,
three times after seeing him. And then it's nice to see Klaus back scoring goals. So far I'm happy with it, but we got to keep doing it with those two up there.
What a great second finish by him.
That was insane. Like,
that was a crazy goal.
It's already like they're going through the like goals of the match day or whatever. It's technically the most difficult goal of the four listed and one of the most difficult goals of this year, bro. Like, I don't even know if he tried to lift it up on purpose or not, but when he did not stutter for a second. He was like, "Oh, I got a window." Like, yeah. I think it was more so – it caught everyone so off guard that he took that it, you know, the save – or, you know, the attempt at a save on the replay, guy wasn't within 3 feet of it. Like, he wasn't even close. He was rooted. So
– that was an acting
job. That's why his jersey is one of the top selling in the MLS this
year.
Number
two.
For a reason.
Put that on my set.
For a reason.
Put that on my set.
Yeah.
I'm worried about them together combining because I think we saw the fruits of, you know, AZ's efforts on the counter press and things like that. But God, we look great on a set piece. Like you find
yeah,
you
dude. Got some, we have all season.
You got big bodies in there, and Lowen completely underrated on the game. Had three assists. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
He was so gross.
He's by far our best player, and he shows it.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. But, you know, to your point, like, I think that I am a little bit worried about Klaus and Sam's ability to play together. That first half really was so brutal. It's just not fluid. And I think the opponent really matters. Giacchini can provide a little bit more, like, link-up play than Big Sam can. So if we're playing against a team – truthfully, like, I think if we're playing against a team that sits in a low block, that's where you play Giacchini because he can have those intricate link-up plays where Big Sam just isn't that guy. There's a couple of times early on in the first half where, like, AZ was looking to combine quickly or Indiana was looking to combine quickly and Sam just isn't that. But if we're looking to spring a counterattack, like, I think that might be the right way to go.
I don't want Klaus taking that 10 roll either. He needs to be up on the – he needs to be higher up the pitch.
Right. He's such a good link up nine that just doing that at the 10, just it kind of wastes his ability. But, you know, another big shout out. And, like, I'm actually glad, Hoove, I'm assuming you tweeted this, but Mark Hainish at the left back position was it's never going to be this sexy pick because, you know, Klaus has two, Lone has three assists, Berkey has massive saves. He put in a shift.
Yeah,
at left back. He was unbelievable.
He was the whole unreal. Game. So much fun, and like we've called it out all year. The two weakest spots on our pitch, on our field, are the wing backs, and they pulled this kid from MLS Next Pro in Colorado, and he's a bona fide left back. He was getting up and back so well. He was holding the ball up like the intensity too. Like he was getting in kids' faces like. No, put that in my veins.
Football too, for sure.
Yeah.
I think the one thing I want to mention about the game is I know Hoove and I were sitting towards the end we went in the second half, and you got to shout out the Luigans or whoever made the TIFO because the TIFO
was great.
Unbelievable.
The TIFO was unbelievable.
Yeah, they just continue to do great things as a club. You know, I got the opportunity – I got the opportunity before the game to actually go down to pitch side I forget what the club is even called down low. It's like 400 tickets. They're all season ticket holders, which is also crazy. It's not like one of the VIP packages. So it's all of these like season ticket holders. And down there, like Gerard Kraft has a restaurant. He like caters a bunch of stuff in there. They rotate all of these different chefs every single match day. There's like food and drink. And then you go out into the players tunnel, right, where they walk out and you get to go stand and sit pitch side, which is incredible. So shout out to Matt Seebeck for making that happen, chief experience officer. And if you haven't taken an opportunity to listen to his City Voice podcast, it really is incredible. Like, he is the man, and his team is behind making the experiences what they are. And while like he can't take credit for the TIFO that you just mentioned, Dobes, that's the kind of stuff that the club always encourages to make the fan experience the best that it can possibly be. So shout out to that. And that opportunity was insane.
Big shout out to him. I think the experience at City Park is always electric, so I think he does a great job.
Yeah.
Did you guys notice that the Flying Monkeys were – each of them were, like, after a different supporters group?
Really?
Like, the Luligans had, like – what is the group that has, like, the wrestling masks?
Like the Luchador ones?
Yeah.
With the Luchador on it. It was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
That's so sick. I dig that. Now, the other wing back – Nerwinski had a game too.
Hey, dude, he came out of nowhere. He's just like, I think he's just gotten caught out less. Maybe he's taking less of a risk. I do think Carnell likes to shift Markanić, and when it was Watts on the right, he likes to let the more creative wing back slide up a little more, which I'm totally cool with, because you know, Jake doesn't need to be getting up the field super far. He can whip across. No. You get him in, you know, the deep part of the other half. Like, he can whip a good cross. But I saw him staying back a little more with Markanić, able to combine with AZ a lot. So, I mean, I like that. You just play the players to their strengths. You know, we were doing just fine when Watts was on the right and Hebert was staying in that third type center back role. So, you know, he's letting these guys be the players that they are, and that's, you know, we've questioned him a couple times, but it's the MLS schedule, and he's gotten it right more often than he hasn't. So
That's credit where it's due. Yeah, the unfortunate mentioning of Kyle Hebert, he comes on for a couple of minutes, gets caught out at the back post, lets up the only goal.
I was going to say, would have loved to shut out there.
Dude, and the boys would have loved to shut out. I mean, as soon as that ball went in, Berkey and Parker were fucking livid. I mean, even after the full-time whistle blew, Parker was screaming at Kyle Hebert, screaming at Thor, because Thor, like, there was like a clear counterattack that they just had to play the ball like into the corner, and Thor tried to like cut it between two guys, lost the ball, and that's what led to the goal. Parker was beside himself.
I gotta laugh. One of our buddies, Butch and I's buddies, Scott Campbell, not a soccer guy at all. He took both teams to score. And so at the very end of the game, my group chat just started blowing up because I kept just being like, I want a zero so bad. I want a zero. And instantly after they scored, he was just like, let's fucking go.
That's so funny. That's hilarious. I feel like we have to give a shout to Nilsson as well. I know I texted it in the group chat, but it's very rare that we throw the phrase Rolls Royce around. You know, I think some people throw it around a little bit too willy-nilly. But when you watch him in relation to the rest of the MLS, he is so even. He's so even keeled. Like, he has every attribute that you want in a center back, and he just keeps getting better with more fitness. So I'm excited to watch him as we get into crunch time in the playoffs.
We can big shout out. Let's call him a Cadillac. He's a Cadillac.
And I'm saying it now. I'm starting to. It has to be Josh next to him.
Dude,
I like it. I mean, he's nursing a back injury right now. So as soon as he gets healthy, I mean, maybe we'll see it in the playoffs. But I agree.
Think it's going to happen because I think he's going to play Parker. But I think it should be Josh.
It's good to feel as a guy who's supported a lot of teams that have had zero center back depth. It feels so good to have Josh at least, you know, on the bench if needed, injury issue. And we don't lose a step with him coming in. So that makes me feel good.
I think we talked about it earlier with Big Sam and Klaus up top on set pieces. Like, Timmy provides a dangerous head as well.
Yeah, he does. On set
pieces, but like with those two, like, I think having Josh there, like, we'll be fine.
Yeah. Again, I think it's personnel. I think it's who you play. And especially when we get the opportunity to play against a low block, I think Josh is the guy to break things down. He's not afraid to play a long ball. He's not afraid to break it down. So we'll see. I don't have a whole lot of trust that Carnell's going to make that move, but we'll see.
Also, I'll be the one to say it. Stroud doesn't start, comes off the bench, provides a goal. Hey.
And an assist, bro.
Hey.
Goal and an assist.
Hey, when Jared he's not Stroud. Playing 90 and he's a sub, I'm all for it. I'm there.
Well, we've said it from the beginning. He's one of the best players on the team.
In the world?
Do you guys watch the Kevin Nacho guy or whatever, the Sporting KC guy?
He's hilarious, bro. He's unbelievable. Yeah.
He is so unbelievable. But when Jared Stroud scored his goal, like if you don't remember, it was the defender that had the ball like on the goal line that tried to clear the ball
straight to
top of the box and it went like straight to him or whatever. And the Kevin Nacho guy was like, he literally paused his stream. He was like, wait a minute. This is two games in a row that this defender did this. What the fuck is going on? Literally 2 weeks in a row. And I can't wait. I can't wait for the end of like the season of like every goal that St. Louis City has scored to like, you know, in one YouTube video, just see how many defensive mistakes have led to goals for us. Like, it's unbelievable.
We're never going to beat those allegations. Like and again, you make your own luck a lot of times in this game, but we have gotten so many easy ones, dude. We can probably chalk up locking down the top spot in the West due to 4 to 5 back passes that, that ended up in the net.
You still got to capitalize on them, though.
Yeah. Kippy Keller, bro.
Kippy Keller. Never saw another MLS minute this season after that game. But you just mentioned it, the number one overall spot. How significant is clinching the number one overall spot to the fan base as an expansion team? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
It's everything.
Huge. I think home field advantage is going to be so huge for us in the playoffs. I think Dodes mentioned it last podcast, but us clinching the one and having a lot of games at City Park that are going to be playoff games, like, we've all raved about the atmosphere of City Park during the regular season. Can you only imagine what it's going to be like in
playoffs? Like, I think it's going to be unbelievable.
It's going to be so insane. And I think the players, obviously, we continue to talk about it. The style of play that we play, the energy that the park brings, like, feeds into it when we high press. So, like, I think it's going to be so awful as an away side to come to City Park and try to play in a playoff atmosphere.
I agree. I hope the supporter section will be every bit of rowdy.
You guys have been to other playoff games in St. Louis. Like,
it's
just different. It's just always different. And like,
we've compared the regular season games to playoff games in other sports in terms of just pure electricity and, you know, tempo and volume and other things. That this is going to be. You know, if anybody's listening that isn't necessarily a soccer fan or is now and hasn't been to a game yet, it's going to blow your mind seeing.
Yeah. It's
whether you went to a regular season game like that. Yeah. It's just going to be different.
We're going to be on the Footy Limbs Twitter account with a goal in the playoffs, bro. I promise there's going to be bodies everywhere.
You know, speaking of that, like, this might be an obscure stat, but we haven't had a pitch invader yet this season, which I'm kind of surprised about, but we haven't had it.
It's because Hoover's season tickets are up
in the second section.
Did you see the way Hoover's face lit up when you said that?
He's like, oh, shit, you're right.
We were going to say, Hoover's like one more Coca-Cola away from screaming that field, bro.
Dude, I was 8 rows up last week. Dobbs and I had different seats, and I was like 2 rows over the people below me, like cheering and yelling at people taking corners. I was too close.
As the game got on, the more I felt bad for the people around us.
Yeah, at least in my section, everyone's aware of it, and you know, they all know now. They've all come around to it, but...
I only feel bad they're not having as good of a time as
you are. Exactly.
Like, if you want to go and sit down and enjoy the sport, go to a baseball game.
I watched enough Wrexham this year, and the limbs on those away fans, and they be doing the like two finger thing. Oh, yeah. I've changed. I'm English now. I'm just full blown.
Just Welsh.
I'm just a Welsh.
I'm just a Welshman. You know, Aaron Ramsey. Whatever. So we have two games left. We have Wednesday, and then we take a 15-day hiatus before our last game of the season. It's something like that. It's crazy. We don't play until I think the 21st after Wednesday. So we have a little bit of time in between the second to last and then the last game of the regular season. And then we have playoffs, which we're learning what the playoff schedule looks like.
Who knows? Yeah. We're not going to play in the wild card round. The winner of the wild card round we will face at City Park, I believe October 28th or 29th, around then.
That's when the first game is.
So then we may not even play till after that because that's
the first game of the round we would play in.
Okay, so we'll be taking a team who could have just played two off the bounce, fresh, basically at home, and then that goes three games unless you win two, and it is 90 minutes straight to Pens up until the semifinals. So that's kind of wild, and I feel rather American, but what are you going to do? Win it. Go on.
Here we go, and we charge on. All for City, fellas. All for City.
Yes. Up the town.
Shall we move into a weekend recap? We have some first off, before we even talk about any fixtures, what a weird weekend of results. There are some results that like really surprised me. There are some which we'll get into that didn't surprise me at all, but some really weird stuff. But starting off, Lucas, how about you kick us off with a big 4-0 win over Bournemouth?
007.
Also, shout out before you start talking, big L. Tyler Adams injured again, same hamstring, same injury, came back too early, and he's officially out for quite some time
for the manager, which is too many games, man.
Too many games, and then he came back too early. Yeah. Poor one out for Tyler tonight, and Lucas.
I had several conversations about both him and other player injuries this week with people outside of the Mecca, and just all of us were talking throughout the entire week about just what we've talked about, in that these guys are just playing too many games, you know, being forced back, or they want to be back for their club so badly that they're coming back too early in the case of Tyler Adams. And, you know, I don't know if that's ever going to change with the money that, you know, the clubs and everybody involved is getting from all these extra games, but it definitely sucks to see. But I hope that the Arsenal Bournemouth game was one of the ones that you were expecting to happen like it happened. I know it was for me. But we spanked Bournemouth 4-0 away. We didn't need them, in my opinion, and I kind of wish we would have rested them, but glad that Saka, Declan, and Saliba were able to play comfortably with their recent knocks. I know that I saw a video of Saliba walking into their stadium with kind of like a limp, and I was like, there's no way like he's going to play today or anything. And then we see him out there, and you know, I went over to Dobbs's place before Butchie and Hoove got over there to watch the Arsenal game, United game, and the Ryder Cup all at the same time. And when we're kind of watching it, it was weird. Like Bournemouth looked completely like a championship level team in every way. It was tough because I was like trying to watch that, trying to watch United lose, and then trying to watch the United States hopefully come back. But you know, Saka scored the first goal early on, and I was like, okay, just fucking take him off now. He scored, like, get him off the field. He started his Premier League game, his streak still alive. Like, just get him off, let him rest. And naturally, they didn't do that. But he scored like a header rebound off of a Gabby Jesus shot off the crossbar. And then Bournemouth had two awful, awful challenges on Nketiah and Odegaard inside their own box. Super aggressive tackle attempts, like championship level tackle attempts in their own box when they had a few guys either behind the ball still or guys around the 6-yard box that would have been able to block or intercept passes. So I have no idea what they were thinking, but both were refreshingly easy pens for the referees to call. Unlike some of the other games we saw both this weekend and so far this season, but moved us into second place after Liverpool's loss. And as much as I hate it when Tottenham wins, if it moves us up the table, I'll allow it. And then also happy that City dropped points, obviously, you know, hoping we can keep that unbeaten streak alive and take advantage of it against City without Rodri and KDB next weekend, and potentially Stones and Bernardo Silva too. They're showing as maybes right now, with they both had knocks in that loss against Wolves last weekend too. So as you know, as much as I hate all of our teams being so injury ridden so early in the season, you know, I hopefully we just take advantage of it. But good time.
Kai fucking out there ducking the 007 allegations, bro. Barely, yeah, man. With this pity pen.
Yeah, that was definitely a pity pen. You asked if it was, and I immediately said absolutely. But like, you know, if he was on your team, like I would want of my guys to give him the pen. And like, I follow all of our guys on social media, and several of them like posted selfies with Kai after the game, like just singing his praises about how hard he, like there was an interview with Declan after the game and he was talking about like how very few people work as hard as him in training. And like, he just like, he needed that. And it was so cool to see everybody go over to him after he scored and just like the environment and like the, you know, the culture in our clubhouse right now is just phenomenal, in that, you know, nobody's getting left behind.
The context of the text you sent too, though, was no context. Kai, classy finish, never a doubt in my mind. And I was like, oh, he did it. He scored. And then I like rolled over and then checked Fought Bob and it was a pen. I was like, ah!
My,
you watch now he's going to be rolling. He just needed to get his feet wet.
You know,
you think? I know. I don't.
Hey, Winx.
He scores well now- every year.
Winks, you know, good analysis. There was a word you used like four times, and that word was championship level. And I just wanted Nick to get used to saying that word next year when his team's done.
Sorry, bro. I thought that was going a completely different direction with another definition of the word championship, but that one is way better. And I love that.
Love you, bro.
Butch is back on the pod taking absolute shots.
His team took some back shots on over the weekend. So.
Hey, Winks, before we move on from
his team, not mine, man.
Before we move on from Arsenal, do you want to give a little preview of the City Arsenal game coming up? Like, thoughts on it? Anything you're worried about? Like, it's a huge fixture for you all. I mean, last year, just to set the scene, not that anyone needs reminding, but last year, this was the game. This was like the season defining game. I know it was the second fixture that was, but like the whole season played on the success or failure of this game, what, 4 months ago, 6 months ago, whatever it was. So how are you feeling moving into this one?
Yeah, I mean, both teams have a lot of injuries. And I know I just talked about the four guys who might not be there, but it's going to be a good game. I was just looking. I genuinely don't even know if it's home or away. It's home. So that's obviously really good in our favor. And, you know, arguably City's two top players and Rodri and KDB both being unavailable helps us, but City's still such a deep team. But thankfully this year, different than most, like we're deeper than we've ever been. As much as I would like Timber to be there to be able to play in this game, he's not going to be. And you know, Martinelli, I think, is going to be out. Party should be out as well. Also, congrats to him. Him and his gal are announced their pregnancy. But
which one?
Who?
Thomas Party.
Which girl?
Wait, what?
Yeah, they posted like pregnancy pics. So,
huh?
The one that he's claiming.
How how long they've been together?
I don't know shit about that. I don't follow him. The only girlfriend that I follow that closely is KiwiOr's girlfriend.
Why is that?
she's the world twerking champion.
Oh, dude, she is.
Yeah,
that's
bro.
That's insane.
Yeah. However, I don't think she's as good looking as Reguilón's lady. Jesus Christ.
He said,
smoke.
But yeah, I think it's gonna be a very close game. I think that we could have the advantage being at home, and with them coming off of a loss and us coming off of a big win, I think that we'll both have Butch and Nick and Hoove, close your ears. But we have a Champions League match this week, and so we'll see how that kind of momentum carries us into the weekend. But I think we're in a good position with those three guys I mentioned earlier being back.
Mr. Jacob Krupp,
this past weekend.
The Jacob Krupp will be in attendance at the Emirates. So
no
shut
way,
up. That's so sick.
Kruppy is going
to
look
at flights. I'm pretty sure Southwest flights are still 50% off.
Kruppy's right going to be in the building. You just got to be prepped to pay more for that ticket than the flight itself. So
yeah,
worth
damn
it.
That's nuts.
That's it. But
quick poll, fellas. Who do we think wins this game?
City.
You know, earlier Wink said something about back shots. I think City's going to be hitting back shots all over Arsenal in this game, bro. I think the worst case scenario for you, Winks, was Man City losing this weekend.
I completely agree with you, Butch.
I don't see them losing two games in a row.
2-2.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who they were playing this week.
They're 2-2.
I think it's a
draw.
It
doesn't matter who they're playing. They were going to lose this week. They're going to come out and put on a performance.
But I don't know.
They still got a mid-game week as well to get through.
I know that it wasn't their full lineup, but watching the backup options with no Rodri is just like, dude, it's game-changing.
Not the same.
City is still City, but like that's why I'm going with a draw. Like the Emirates, City not being full strength. I'm thinking like 1-1 or 2-2.
Do we have Mr. John Stones on the bench? Is he still injured?
Stones, he might be back.
Him and Silva are both questionable right now, but we know how that is.
Yeah.
Bro, if Stones plays in midfield, I think that changes a lot.
I do too.
I need more John Stones in midfield stuff, bro. That was
me too.
That was the most fun month ever.
Of him just being
him
the
just
best
being
midfielder
a world-class center mid and just forgetting that he's a center back.
I'd love to look up get pods from that month and listen to you talk about Tottenham and see if that was really the best
the
month.
Highlight. I'll go a 2-1 City win. 2-1.
I'm with you, Hen. 2-1.
2-1.
I think Doku makes Ben White his bitch.
Same.
Game long, bro.
It's game much, but it's hard to do.
If Rashford can do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah. Hey. At this moment in time. All right. Moving on. Speaking of Rashford, Dobes, hit us with what was the 1-0 loss to Crystal Palace after beating them midweek.
Truthfully, I don't really have a ton to say. Like Wink said, that I had the boys over. We had three TVs going. I had the Ryder Cup on the main one and United on the small one in the corner. So I did watch some of it. I think the
shows a lot.
We're really ducking a lot of the emotion out of this with you guys watching the Ryder Cup.
It's not too much emotion. It's kind of one of those. It's like we don't have a single healthy left back on the roster. Like it's no necessary excuse to like lose to Crystal Palace and not score a goal. But what's different to start this season that was such our strength last season was we were like, even though we did score a ton of goals, like we were built on our back four. Like our back four, when healthy with Luke Shaw, Martinez, Varane, and Wan-Bissaka, like that's how we were built. And we've had so much rotation right now in our back four that like, yes, we need to score goals. Yes, Rashford needs to do more. Yes, we need more out of Hoyland. We got to do more going forward. But at the same time, like not only do we like give up the goal, but we concede so many fucking chances. It's not even funny. It's like, even if it was just 1-0, like, it could have been worse, and yeah, we should have had a few, but I think what is worrying to me is the lack of depth now that we have in the back line total. And now the news came that Martinez is out, and he's another one that, like, he's a definition of a product of played too many games, even though I kind of blame the United training staff because he was never fully healed and he started playing again. But I don't know, man. We're in kind of that situation right now where things have been bad. I'm not necessarily sort of like the panic button has maybe entered the house. It hasn't necessarily entered the room yet.
Still in the glass.
The glass is out on the front porch, but I don't know. It's like we're a string of games of consistent wins back, like in a row from being just fine. I think we're only like 9 points from top four, and we know just how quick things can swing, but
damn.
Tomorrow is a massive game for the Champions League. So if we can win two this week, like go into another international break on a high note, like I think we'll be just fine. We'll keep getting healthy. Mano's back in training. Antony's back in training. So like things are positive, but we got to end the skid eventually.
Yeah, 100%. I thought that this was the stretch of games that we were going to just take 9 points.
We bodied them midweek too. Like bodied them.
Yeah. The thing is too, is like the goal that they scored, you tip your cap on. I mean, I don't know if you all went back and like watched it, but it was a fucking rocket. It was whatever. You tip your cap on it. But the lack of production on the offensive side of things is concerning. That it's just not coming. You mentioned that, you know, the back line, you know, we don't have the depth there. We played our front six that we wanted to play. So like, if you would have asked me how we should have lined up that game, that's exactly how we should have done it.
I would have started Garnacho, I think, over Pulisic.
Yeah, Pulisic didn't have a great game. I agree. And Garnacho will probably start tomorrow. You know, we'll probably see that happen. But I was really underwhelmed with the performance, I think we should have bodied them yet again, especially at home. We went through that stretch of like 30 something games where we didn't lose at home, and now we've lost twice at home this season. It is concerning. It's not great to see, and the boys need to bounce back heavily.
So now that Dobes is back on the pod, I can ask the question again after another loss from United.
Oh shit. But,
is it panic button yet? I mean, you were asking me, and now we're only a point off from you guys. Missed
everything I said. I literally wrecked the panic button three times. Like, where have you been?
Classic.
I literally just wanted to ask him again. I said the panic button is not in the house, but it's on the front porch.
Here's my question that I don't know if it's banter, but maybe. We're watching teams like Brighton and Villa, who are playing like really well and showing a lot of really high quality stuff. Where do you guys see yourself closing the gap? They're in fifth and sixth, both with 15 points. Like what needs to happen?
I'm not necessarily concerned about either of them. Like I'm more concerned about a Liverpool, a Tottenham. Jeez. Like I think if we hit our stride, I just mean what I mean by that is last year.
I'm terrified of Villa. I always am.
But what I mean by that is I don't necessarily see Villa or Brighton or any of those teams. Like, yes, they're good teams. We just saw Brighton at the weekend. Like, those teams, I think, are going to eventually continue to drop points. And if United can get healthy and we can go on a run, like, we saw it last year. It's like we didn't start great. Yes, we have a way worse start this year. But at the same time, like, once we get back, like, I'm not even talking Martinez. Like, a Luke Shaw, an Aaron Wan-Bissaka, like, and we have sort of a full 11. Like, I'm fully confident that we can go on a run of winning – you know, 5, 6, 7 games in a row. But then again, like, we don't have time to waste. I just don't necessarily think I trust Villa. I'm more scared of Newcastle, to be fair, than a Villa or Brighton in terms of top four race. But, like, you're right. We don't have time to waste.
Yeah, we definitely don't.
You're still thinking it's a top four race for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I picked us to finish third. Yeah, I mean, like, we've only won 3 out of our first 7, so it's not a great start. But, like, at the same time, like, we have the capability of, like, we have one of the most expensive squads in the world, like, fully healthy. Like, we're great. And I honestly think you guys are going to think I'm crazy. Like, I think Anthony's going to be make a massive difference for us when he comes back, just in terms of the work rate he performs.
Yeah, dude. What did he do? Side on his left every time. Huge impact, bro. Yeah,
he's got a mean left hook, bro. Jesus.
At the same time, like, his work rate back is triple Marcus Rashford's. And I mean triple, quadruple even. So it's like we do miss that. So we'll see.
We will see. Okay, let's move on to the main ticket event of the weekend. the main ticket. We have to my surprise today, finding out it was a 2-1 victory for Tottenham. I would have given you all of my money in my bank account that game finished 1-1. I had no idea that Tottenham won. So let's hear it, fellas. Let's hear it. Gloves are off. Let's swinging.
Hoove, take your moment, bro. Go ahead.
I don't even know. No, because Liverpool has made it their moment, brother. Every single time this happens to a club will complain. You know, like the fans always complain. It only becomes a diplomatic issue when Liverpool's involved. It's in the freaking courts the next day because Liverpool got hosed on a call. But, you know, every other team just is supposed to accept an apology and move on.
I'd rather lose to Crystal Palace than beg for a replay.
Dead. Here's where I'm at. They got a call wrong. They've acknowledged it. It was wrong. I'm willing to accept that. It would have it changed the outcome of the game. Who knows? It definitely plays out in a different fashion. I don't care. At all. Like, I've been needing one of these wins, one of these dodgy calls that Spurs gets. We've become media darlings in the last month because we have an Australian manager. No one's ever given a shit about Tottenham Hotspur. So, you know, the pity, I have no pity for Liverpool fans. You guys have titles and stuff. You guys are the giant club that we're a little old Tottenham. So, no, I'm taking this one as a win for the small guys. They played as well as they could against nine small men, guys. You know, comparatively, if we're going to be talking like that, right? People are like, oh, they needed two red cards and a called back pen to beat nine guys. No, bro, beating nine guys is hard. There's way more space and gaps.
There was a stat about like the last 10 games that there's been a red card. And I think it was like two teams scored. Like going against down again, or less than that, I think it was.
It obviously changes the way that the game plays out, but it doesn't make the attacking part of the job easier on the players. Like, it makes it way harder. You guys had nine guys behind the ball and weren't looking to open up chances, which you guys did admirably for, you know, the entirety of being down a man or two. I thought it's really unfair on Joel Matip. I felt bad personally. The only person I feel bad for is Joel Matip. Like, as a defender, he did everything he possibly could to not let that happen, and then he was the direct reason that it did. So I think that's unfair for a defender. The result, who are we asking Ange to apologize? No, bro. No one on outside of, you know, the red side of that stadium is upset at all. You saw the scenes. It was mental. Again, it's been so much fun. They leave it late. It's great. I love it. Why not? But yeah, you know, you everything you're going to say is going to be correct, except for the fact where you're like, well, we deserve a point, or I want a replay, because that's mental.
I'm not going to bring up anything about a replay, anything like that. Okay. I don't want it. It is what it is.
Stop this right now. I'm not doing
this. They came on here before this.
I said Liverpool Twitter wanted a replay. I didn't say I wanted a replay. Get your facts straight. All right. Okay. Muzzerson. Hold on. I'm gonna say my points. Okay. And I think we can all agree Alisson is the best goalie in the league.
It's fact.
Yes. I can agree.
Did you watch the game?
I can agree to that. I'm willing to accept that. Yeah.
He said, "Kepa, bro,
the best Prem goalie of all time,
brother."
He had three saves when we were down a player that were just unjustifiably. I don't know how he did it, to be honest. Like, he had that one save diving to his right hoof. Remember when we went like freaking absolute apeshit in the basement?
Yeah, That one, he caught one. Like, he caught one that should have been just pushed out to the side. He just grabbed it.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's unreal, man. And he kept us in that game, no doubt. Because, I mean, we were playing a 5-3 in the field with literally just sitting back. Like, we didn't send anybody up the last, 17, 20 minutes of the game once Jota decided to be a dumbass and get his second yellow card. But that's my first point. Allison's the best goalie in the league. My second point, I thought Szoboszlai is an absolute gladiator, bro. That dude is so good. So good. We go down two guys, and then he's like, all right, I'm just going to go full on defensive mode here. And he was clearing everything out, making runs, running his socks off. So he's just been balling out. But
can I ask you a legitimate question?
Sure.
I feel like the Szoboszlai hype has been so overrated. We have Twitter literally comparing him to Steven Gerrard, saying that he's the heir to Steven Gerrard, and he's played seven games. And I think that this isn't even a question. This is just a statement. I think that Szoboszlai is getting – I was going to start with a question. Then I was like, I'm just going to tell you what I think. Szoboszlai is getting so highly rated because you all have been without a solid midfielder for two seasons.
But I was wrong about him. I think he's a baller.
I think he's good.
I think he's a baller.
Don't get me wrong. I think he's a baller too. I said this when you got him. I said that was a fantastic signing, but literally saying – we found the heir to Steven Gerrard, and there's graphics of him wearing the 8. And I think the hype of him is so overrated.
I think Szoboszlai is a baller, but people saying he's Stevie G, they are geriatrics, my brother. Geriatrics, my brother. You cannot compare a kid to Steven Gerrard after 8 games. I agree. There's no way.
He only needs one title to have more titles.
Oh, my God. Bruh. I'm not bringing you Zins tomorrow, bro. All right.
I'm not doing it, bro.
Hey, but I agree, Henry. I don't think that you should be compared. And I think that's bad for a kid like that's ego. You know what I mean? Don't feed stuff into his brain. Hopefully he's not reading that shit. You don't want that pressure on you. 22-year-old kid, first season, you don't want that. But he is a great player, I will say. He's a great player. Did you see his banger last week, midweek?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hit the shit out of the ball.
Freaking missile. But
Gerrard could never.
Oh, my God, dude. Dude.
You got a catalog. But,
I will say this, Hoove. Your first goal was class, man. Your first goal, that through ball to Rishi and Rishi squared it to Sonny. That was just that was Ange ball at its finest, you know?
Yeah, yeah. This Madison guy.
Yeah.
He
turns out he's a good player, you know.
Turns out when you take the best player off of Leicester and put him on a team with players way better than the players on Leicester, he gets even better. So you always have high hopes for players when you sign them, and obviously everyone in this group chat would have taken him on their team. This is the stuff you dream of. He's completely revolutionized that midfield, which to in my opinion is strong as is. And he's just immediately placed himself as the best of the three and is balling. But at the end of the day, the worst part about all of this is the fact that VAR and wholeheartedly changed the outcome of that game. I'm willing to accept as a fan that it sucks. I'm not going to complain that I picked up 3 points, but this just comes back to literally every time we get on the podcast and have a question about a call. And that one was a human error. Which is like every week. I saw some guy phrased it really well, and he was like, they knew they messed up. The call on the field was the VAR booth thought that the team on the pitch called the goal as a goal. So when they checked into VAR, VAR up top didn't know that they had actually called it offsides on the field, and they just straight away said, check complete.
Jesus,
bro! So, how do you not see the flag?
They're not even You had to have like, not been not watching watch the game. Yeah, I truthfully have no idea. It's crazy. But someone praised it like, you know, they fucked up. They knew they fucked up. But then instead of correcting it, they just agreed to go with the rules that were in place for the VAR that were placed in place only 4 years ago. So, it comes into a conversation of
so
like,
fucking confusing.
It comes into a conversation of like, what rules are we protecting when we change the rules a lot? So it's going to lead to something happening. Something has to happen. It's bad for the league. The fact that they voted off the like semi-automated offsides thing is not great. It worked so well at the World Cup and it was just definitive. Like there was just an answer every single time that you was like, oh, that was close. You know, and sometimes it's still subjective as to where you're drawing your lines. But it sucks that in the gravity of the moment that it changed the game. I'm amped, but
it's just not going to change how I feel about it.
As a football fan, you know, objectively.
I'm in the Pulisic camp of just scrap VAR.
Just scrap it. I mean, let's go back to human error. That's just way more fun.
Let's get mad at referees versus get it wrong after the fact already.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Nick, round us out, man. You tasted victory today. 2-0 and some big goals from some big players.
Yeah, it feels good.
Some players.
Not too thrilled, obviously, with the injuries. I think our podcast has now just turned into an injury report. Mudrick came off at halftime with apparently hamstring. Broja came off as well with apparent injury, and so did Caicedo. So we had three guys come off with injuries during the game, all hoping that they're okay. Mudrick getting on the score sheet, I think, is huge. Obviously, Henry alluded to it before the podcast. He didn't even know we played today. So I'm assuming none of you guys really watched. But
I watched it.
It was a nice cross into him. Chess settled it down, and then Meg, the keeper. So that's
he looked like he was going to cry as he was celebrating. I think he was the happiest man in the world.
I think everyone was all thrilled that he finally got on the score sheet. You could see it. It's funny. My favorite reaction to Mudrick's goal is Enzo and Caicedo's reaction. Like Enzo immediately turns and just like screams at Caicedo, and they like embrace each other. And I think it was just like overall seeing a ball go in the net for the side. Like I think that kind of sparked something, because then 90 seconds later, Broja got on the score sheet as well. I will say it was a Tim Ream fault. Those are few and far between, but he kind of kicked it into Broja and it just went in the net. So, hey, we'll take them as they go. But like I said before, not thrilled about the injuries, but we'll take 3 points where we can get them.
Yeah, you know, Fulham's no walk in the park, so you guys beat a good
away,
team.
Fulham looked horrible, to be totally fair, because they've had some quality play in the last couple of weeks. But no, you know that I thought it was funny watching Mudrick. Like I was like watching the goal and like analyzing like his face just to see what he would do. I don't think he like could physically comprehend his own emotions, like. There was just no, like, he just kind of stared for a while, like, didn't really even smile for a second. Like, it was so many things happening to him.
Trying to hide it and act cool, and then he was like, nah,
there's no way.
The motivational crossbar challenge worked.
I know. Fair, like, I thought that was kind of interesting. Like, maybe.
What are you talking about, bro? This guy's making hundreds of thousands a week. Like, that dude hit the crossbar.
Hey, you never know. So weird. Whatever gets the man confidence, I'll take it.
Yeah, he's also a child.
True. Yeah, he's 19.
He's not. Mudrick's older than 19.
He's 22, he's like, bro.
Yeah, he's 22.
Is he really?
Bro, yeah. Yeah.
I'm never.
No, you're players.
I'm 22.
Right when Butch said it, I believed it.
January 4th, 2001.
Oh.
Yeah. 22 well, years old.
I mean, I guess my he's opinion is a child.
What are we talking about? He's 22.
Well, fellas, that has been our weekly recap. And we're combining our next two segments into one segment because Butch has something extra special prepped for us. So take us away, Butch, with our factor cap and our 10-minute segment, all in the same thing.
Absolutely. So, fellas, you guys are going to work as a team. And for our listeners, this is going to be a English Premier League blind rankings where I have selected 10 of the better players in the league. And you have to rank them 1 to 10, not knowing who is next.
I swear to God, if they're all Liverpool players.
Not knowing who is next. Okay? Now, remember, you guys got to work as a group. So we got to vote. Winx is going to put it on the spreadsheet.
I heard his teacher hat on right now, man.
All right.
Paper.
Yeah. So,
I want you guys can take into account quality, status, all that, whatever stuff, whatever you guys want to do.
Are we doing right now or prime?
We're doing right now, sir. Right now.
That's a good clarification.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Your first player, 1 to 10, pick a number, Enzo Fernandez.
I mean,
okay. Can I just say something? Man played great this week.
Okay. No. I'm starting this out with a rational thought. Whoever was going to come first has to be in the middle. So Enzo Fernandez, unfortunately for all of us, has to just be the bar, right? So
I think it's 4.
6.
I like 6.
6.
Oh, you guys think there's going to be 6 better? Oh, I don't.
Yes, turn to five.
If Butch said he's picking 10 of the better players in the Premier League. Hold on. For reference, Butch, is this like so far this season? Are we taking last season into account, like current form?
You're talking player, boy. Enzo Fernandez.
I'm talking like you can do current form this year, but I think also five. Just quality.
Yeah. Like, what are we talking about?
I think 5.
I think that's even rash. I'm giving him 2-3 if we're being
honest. Oh, I'm fucking
See, this is because Nick decided to smoke crack before this episode. I'm okay with 5.
5.
I agree with Hoop. I think he's the bar. Like,
if we're going to look at this in a blind draft.
I love this. Bar. He's a bar.
Yeah, 5.
Yeah, 5.
Okay, are you keeping track of our list for us?
Yeah, I got it.
So right. We got Enzo at 5. Your next player is Kairu Matoma.
Ooh.
6.
6.
I was going to say 6 or 7.
I was going to say 8.
Yeah.
You guys got to decide on a number.
No shit.
I like 7.
I don't hate 7.
I think the lower the better, and not because I think he's a bad player, but not I think all. That like
I mean, the Premier League is a lot better league in the world. Yeah. Yeah. None of these guys are ballers.
Agreed.
He's not the best left winger, and I think we put Enzo too high. 10 other positions on the field.
I think we fucked.
So
no.
I love this shit, man. I love this shit. This is good.
Nick would want fucking Enzo in 2 and Matoma in 3, and then the next 3 are going to be friggin' Rodri, Holland, KDB.
I think seven or eight for me.
I feel good about an 8, but I can accept 7. An 8.
Okay, let's go 8.
All right, we're going 8 for Matoma. All right, your next player is Bruno Fernandes.
1.
No.
Oh, yeah, see. Yeah, that's where this one's going to get.
Bruno Fernandes.
Bro, stop that. Enzo could grab Bruno's water. He could clean his boot.
World Cup winner.
Okay. Legitimately.
I'm going 3.
Yeah,
I guess
no four. Shot. You guys are putting Bruno Fernandes at 3.
I'm 4. Yeah. I think 4 is good.
I think
he's 12.
I think he's.
But it's a list of 10.
I think he's 6. You guys really think there's going to be only 3 people better than Bruno?
Bruno is elite. He's an Olympic diver.
The thing is that we don't know who Butch has
exactly.
Chosen. So
Nick,
like, 4. You can throw. All right,
you're okay with 4.
We're gonna end 4? With some wild players.
Hey, Doves. Yeah. Doves. Me personally, I wouldn't let that slide, bro.
Good. You're a coach. You know ball. You probably put him at least 2.
I am out of the discussion. I'm just guessing. You guys, professor. Did you say 4 Winx?
Yeah,
lock okay. It.
We're gonna go 4.
All right, your next player is James Ward-Prowse.
10. He is so good.
9.
Yeah. Wait, what do we say? What did we say for?
He has made the Declan Rice role at West Ham look easy.
I'm thinking it's a 9. Do you think Butch
is a crazy one?
I'm okay with a 9, just because I think Butch might throw a wild card.
We just haven't seen him at like
you're right
at like the top of anything, and I know he has.
You said 9.
Well, I think we're going to go 9 if you guys are cool with that.
Yeah.
I think 10.
I'm very okay with 10 as well.
I think 10 was my villain.
He's definitely 10 or 9. He's definitely
so, 10. Guys, I'm sure we've all watched way too many TikToks about blind ranking guys in different ways. I feel like the 1 and the 10 spot are always what are left till the end, and then you end up putting someone really good in the 10 spot and someone not so good in the 1.
We're going to wait to say Nunes until the 1.
He's going to be the only one we have left.
Butch, do you already have these written down?
Leave the 10 out. I do. Leave the 10 ready. We have to just have that for Nunes.
Okay.
Like, he's worse.
I think he's a 10. I think 10.
We'll go 10.
All right. 10 for Ward Prowse. Next player is James Madison.
What numbers do we have available?
This is why I would have wanted Enzo at 6, because I think he'd be 4,
but I think he's...
Well, you can't change it now.
Okay, right.
You have to put him 3 because he's better than attention. Bruno.
6.
In the last
1, 2, 3, 6, 7, 9.
You guys messed
we're
up.
Talking about, if we're talking about current form, he's been better than Bruno up. So
hand
far this season.
Hand and fist, bro.
Yes.
Hand and fist.
Yes.
And that's why
I'm saying that as someone who hates Tottenham more than
I'd say 6 too.
Because you're drunk.
Now Madison has to be 3.
He's got to be 3.
He's still created like the most chances of anybody in Europe.
I'm totally okay. If we would have fucked up, if we would have put Bruno at 3 in the first, I would have been okay with Madison as a 4, but he's not going to be a 6.
No.
He's not going to be a 6. He's definitely 3.
He's gotta be three.
If we're talking current form, I'm gonna go 3 because he's been unbelievable.
You guys put him at 3 when we're putting Erling Haaland.
No. You guys put Bruno at 4 and forced us to put Madison at 3.
We put Enzo way too high.
We should have done Enzo to 6. That was the. Yeah.
I'm good with three. I like
Madison. It's gonna have to be a 3.
3. Oh, okay.
He's balling. He is Spurs right now.
All right. Your next player is Bukayo Saka.
This is getting controversial because I think he's 6.
I think he's better than Enzo.
2-1.
He's top 2. He's top 2. That's yeah.
I think we leave 2.
I think he's so overrated.
This is the exact same opposite side of the coin as
Nick's
Wayne's.
Nick hasn't watched a Premier League game in the last 3 years, I'm convinced.
No, I have.
Hen, what do you think?
I'm so torn right now. I'm pissed that we put Enzo at 5 because so far he should be at 7.
That's why I picked Enzo.
I want to say
1, 2, 6, 7, 9.
Here's the deal. I love Saka, and if you all want him to be number 1, fair.
No,
I think he's number 2. Listen. We haven't mentioned a single City player yet, so I know it's coming. So like. You think about someone like a Ruben Dias, who is not a winger, but he's. You think Ruben Dias is a 9?
In this group we have? Yeah, he's not 1 or 2. We can't put him 3, 4, or 5 now.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Henry.
How?
Yeah,
Henry, I'll give you a clue. There's no defenders on this list.
3, 4, 5. Okay. Already.
We need to keep one of the top 2 spaces open for Rodri.
Over Saka.
What do we have? We have number 1, have 7 2, available?
1, 2, 6, 7, 9.
7.
6. I'm going for, if we're still on Saka, I'm going 2.
6.
All right, it's got to be a vote, Henry.
Why are you making me do this?
That's outrageous.
2. Fuck me. Whatever.
All right, 2.
We're at 1.
2.
Hoove, I appreciate that because I rooted for Matt.
I'll return it. You're right. Yeah. You're right.
And that's the bitch of the blind rankings.
You're right.
There is.
All right, next player is Pedro Neto.
9. Lock it.
Hafey, 1.
9.
Hafey, Ballon d'Or.
Okay. Your next player is Mo Salah.
7.
7? Are you fucking dumb?
He doesn't have a say in this, though, one. To be fair.
Yeah. But you remember, shut your mind.
Gotta be 6.
I'm going to say 6.
Gotta be 6.
We have 1, 6, and 7 left.
I think you're putting Enzo over Mo, bro.
Buddy, it's either that or we put Mo at 1. You just bragged about putting Enzo over Mo.
You could have put Salah first. We would have said 2.
I love this shit.
Mo is six.
All right.
Six.
Six?
Yeah.
How Crazy. Badly do you want us to say first?
I'm so bad, bro. All right.
Yeah, I told you guys he's the best player.
Your next player is Rodri.
One.
Oh, no.
Right? Yeah. One.
On a red card.
So you're...
Red card, Rodri.
Red card, Rodri, baby. All right, and this is not... I did not just write this down. It's been on my piece of paper, but your number seven is Marcus Rashford.
Hey.
Wow.
So far this season?
That's fine. Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, so read us 1 to 10.
I don't hate this.
So hold on. Before we go, Butch, I want to write down on here the order that we went for reference when we share it with everybody. So can you remind me? It was Enzo...
Enzo at 5.
Matoma. No, I know who he had. Just tell me the order that you told us. So it was Enzo, Matoma, JWP.
Yep.
Bruno Fernandes.
Yep.
Matters. Saka. Pedro Neto.
Salah.
Rodri. Rashford. And Rashi. Okay.
Not a bad list, fellas.
Oh, super good. Talented.
I think the Enzo shot was a little high.
I think the only issue with this is that our middle four picks could have kind of gone anywhere, to be fair.
Yeah, totally.
Honestly, two through six could have been rearranged, but I feel like the current form and probably Ward-Prowse above Pedro Neto, in my opinion. Yeah. But regardless, so with the blind rankings, we had Rodri as a number one, Saka 2, Matters 3, Bruno 4, Enzo 5, Mo Salah 6, Rashford 7, Matoma 8, Neto 9, and JWP 10. Yes, genuinely, boys, like I feel like we did a pretty good job.
You guys did good, man.
So, yeah, James Ward-Prowse has made Declan Rice's role look extremely easy. Like, the team had no change. Anyway, yeah, he's the only one I would have changed. I may have taken him from 10 to 9 over Neto.
Yeah, same.
I think we did pretty good.
I think it's pretty accurate.
All things considered. Well, fellas, Butch, I want that segment to come back. That's a great segment on a blind ranking. We got to open it up to the rest of the world too. Like I want to have like a random Jude Bellingham thrown in there and have to rank that with all of the world. So put Klaus in there. You know, you never know.
Sure. World midfielders, world strikers, or world attackers. Klaus. Opportunity there.
Well, fellas, that's it for us. Congrats on another episode. Congrats to St. Louis City, as we said numerous times throughout this podcast. Can't wait to watch us ball again for the next couple of weeks. Next couple of months, let's bring home a title. Follow us on all of our social medias. Thank you for listening. We have our TikTok. We have our Instagram, our Twitter. We're coming at you again next week. And with that being said, cheers, fellas. Good job.
Cheers, fellas.